in our media and about the church and church leaders. And let me tell you, keep your eye on the Lord. Amen. Just keep your eye on the Lord. No matter what kind of titles people have, you keep your eye on the Lord. That's your best bet. That's all our best bet. Hallelujah. Because if not, when other people fall, you may fall just along with them. You don't want that. Keep your eye on the Lord. Listen, we've been talking about a topic called understanding who we are. And these messages are really geared toward those who are saved. But if you're here for any reason and you're not saved, listen, it talks to you about the salvation life and what life will be like for you. This morning, I want to talk from a subtopic of the fact that you're righteous and holy. There's so many people in the body of Christ that really feel bad about themselves. You don't have to do that. Really, if you knew who you were once you got saved and once you became a new spirit, you'd understand that you're righteous and you're holy. Hallelujah. Righteous and you're holy. Everybody say that. Righteous and you're holy. One more time. Righteous and you're holy. Hallelujah. Most Christians don't see themselves as righteous people or as holy people. And some people work so hard trying to become righteous and trying to become holy. But if you've been born again, you're already righteous and holy. Let me just review just a moment here one scripture that we talked about last Sunday, and that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And this is the King James Version, and this is what it says. In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that scripture is saying to us once again that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live inside a body. I know unless somebody taught you that earlier, you think that what you see in the mirror is you. But that's just a reflection of your body. That's not even you. That's just a body in which you live in. I told you last week, listen to me now. I told you last week, and it was a shock to some people, the fact that you can't die. See, I say, every time I say that, I know somebody's saying, I know he's gone. You can't die. Otherwise, listen, if you died and no longer exist, there wouldn't be a need for heaven and hell. There really wouldn't be. Once you stop breathing, that'd be a wrap. And if that was the case, you might as well do whatever it is you want to do because it would be over. But because you are not this body, because you are a spirit, when this body dies and goes into the dust, your spirit still lives. And that's what this scripture is talking about. Your spirit has been born again, but you have to renew your soul if you want your body to move differently. So the way this thing works, and I really for the life of me don't understand why they don't teach it in kindergarten. Amen? You release stuff from your spirit. How's it get there? Hallelujah. Through the word of God. That's why the devil fights so hard for you not to read the word of God, not to memorize the word of God, not to meditate on the word of God. Because listen, when the word of God, which is powerful, when the word of God gets not into your soul, but into your spirit, then your spirit releases something in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotion. And once your soul changes, once your mind changes, once your will changes, then your body will start doing different things. But no use talking to your body and say, I'm going to stop this, I'm going to stop this, I'm going to stop this. You can't. Because your soul, listen, is controlling your body and your soul is being controlled by your old spirit. Does that make sense to everybody? Amen. So if you want your body to permanently do something different or go in another direction, listen to me, you're going to have to get a new spirit. Well, how do I get a new spirit? You get born again. That's how this thing is supposed to work. So many people think that they could just go into a church building, come before the altar, say some magic words, hallelujah, and then go right back out there with the same spirit and change. You ain't about to change. If you do, it's going to be for a little while. It may be for a day, a week, a month, or even a year. But soon as the devil wants to use you, he's going to rile you right back up, and those same mess going to come on out again. But when you got a new spirit, everything changes. That's why you got to be born again. And as a reward of that, once you become a child of God and receive a new spirit, you're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. You already got on the bus. Amen. That's the most important thing to you. This little bitty time here on planet Earth is nothing. We talk about living eternally. How long is eternal? Could somebody answer that for me? How long is eternal? How long is forever? It's a lot longer than a little bit of time you're going to spend here on planet Earth. Amen. So why settle for the devil's confusion for this little bit of time, listen, and give up the opportunity to spend eternally in a better life with God? Why do that? Most people do that because they don't know any better. Or they're so wrapped up to whatever the devil has got them doing that they don't want to stop doing it. Well, you keep doing it if you want. You keep doing it if you want. But the bottom line is when this body stops breathing, you're going to hell. You're going to go straight to hell. Amen? Won't collect $200. Won't do anything. You're going straight to hell. That's the trick of the devil. God's not trying to make any of us be good people. He's trying to save us from the ultimate destination of hell. He's trying to save us. And at the same time, he's trying to use us to get some good things done while we're here. Amen. That's not a bad thing, is it? That's all he wants. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. You know, that word hell, I guess, has just become a very derogative word in our culture, you know, but I can see God just constantly telling somebody, say, look, you got to change. You got to get saved. 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 And that person keeps saying, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying. And I can hear God saying, all right, then go to hell. It's hard for us to say that, ain't it? But I can see God saying, all right, if you don't want to do that, then go to hell. You say, oh, God, you shouldn't say that. No, God says, not that I shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. Come on, come on. Amen? Because it's your choice. Come on. It's your choice. It's your choice. Amen. But folks, this is stuff we need to tell babies. And folks need to grow up with this idea. And this, at least they can make a good decision. God is a good God all the time. Amen. Your spirit has been born again, but you have to renew your soul, I said, if you want your body to move differently. Your old spirit produced the work of the flesh. That's what your old spirit did. Now I'm talking to saved people here today. That's what your old spirit did. Let me take you to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. I like to give you scriptures because I don't want you to think any of this stuff is my ideas. I have no ideas. But Galatians 5:19 through 21 says this. Now the works of the flesh are manifested. Now the works of the flesh are listed. Now the works of the flesh are published here. Listen, he said this is some of the things you will do when you're in the flesh. Which are these? Adultery. Fornication, hallelujah, there it is right there. With fornication, you know, sex without marriage. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such things like these. God said, all right, if you're not saved, listen, and you're just in your flesh, you may do any one of these things. Because that's what unsaved folks do. And he says, and such like, and of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Won't do it. Won't do it. See, somebody got to explain this thing to me, how it works. Because listen, I'm still scratching my head on this thing. From the age of 17 all the way up to the age of 32, you know, I drank. And the more money I got, the more I drank. I mean, I never was a falling down drunk, but I drank. Listen, and anybody that drinks every day, they got a problem, whether they will admit it or not. But I just want to illustrate the power of God. But the night, and it was after midnight, the night that I gave God my life, the night when I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the very next day I was a different person. Not because of anything I did. I didn't know how to be good. I didn't know how to stop drinking. I didn't know how to stop chasing skirts. I didn't know how to do that. But the very next day, I was a whole different person. Now, let me tell you something. That's not because of me. That's because of the power of God that comes with salvation. That's why the Bible said, once again, if a man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. A lot of times the devil will tell you, well, you know, those people talking about getting saved and stuff, but you know you can't do that. You don't have to do that. God will do all the doing that's necessary. Hallelujah. All, hallelujah. Hallelujah. People didn't know what was wrong with me. I'm saying people, the guys that I ran with didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't want to drink no more. Hallelujah. Didn't want to go no bars no more. Didn't want to cheat on anybody no more. Something wrong with that boy. Are you with me? Folks don't understand that in their minds because it's not a mind thing. It's a supernatural thing that God does. Don't you dare settle for a church service. There's something much better than that. Talking about understanding who you are as a Christian. Your new spirit is supposed to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And see, some of us don't even know what the fruit of the Spirit is. But he listed here in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's read it. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God said when you get saved, you're going to change. Because you become a new tree. Amen? Amen? You can't grow apples on a lemon tree. God said, but when you get saved, you become a new tree and new kind of fruit grows on you. Hallelujah. That's why you become a new person. You become a righteous person and you become a holy person. Not because you've gone to somebody's church service X number of times. It's a miraculous power of God. That God uses to touch, to give you the whole new spirit. You've just instantly become a righteous person and a holy person. Does that mean you do everything right? Not necessarily. Not necessarily, but the real you, come on. Are you with me? It's like that lemon tree and the apple tree that I talked about a minute ago. When you get saved, you used to be a lemon tree, but now you are no longer a lemon tree. You are an apple tree. You cannot produce lemons. That's why God said you will know them by their fruit. Because, you know, you just can't do it. And if you try to do it, that thing will hurt you so bad. I've been there, done that, that you'll have to repent and get it right with God. God is a good God all the time. Amen. These fruits of the spirits are manifested as you renew your mind with the word of God. With that saying, listen, when you become saved, listen, you become this apple tree that I'm talking about. All of a sudden, new fruit comes from you, but people may not see it right away. But as you renew your mind with the word of God, all your actions will change. They'll just change. You'll just be a whole different person. The goal is to be spiritually minded and not carnal minded. Carnal-mindedness is allowing your mind to be dominated by what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You are carnally minded when your thoughts center primarily on the physical realm. When you, all you're thinking about is what you could taste, touch, taste, feel, see with your five senses. But something happens when you get saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Something happens. You start hearing things from God that you either didn't want to hear before or you just missed it when he was trying to talk to you. But all of a sudden, you become a whole new creature. Hallelujah. Spiritual mindedness releases the flow of God's life in you, but carnal mindedness shuts it off. You can't hear God, not accurately, when you're carnal minded. You can't hear God right when you're not saved. That's why when people be telling you you need to get saved, that don't mean nothing to you. It don't mean anything because you don't understand that. You can't hear God speaking to you. Oh, but you let things get bad enough for you. You get down low enough, hallelujah, in life, and you're going to start hearing God. But hopefully you'll make the right decision. God is a good God. The Bible says that we are already righteous and holy in God's eyes. Say, where he say that at? Let me take you to Ephesians 4. Now, once again, I'm talking to saved folks here today. And people that are not saved need to understand what life is like for saved folks and who saved folks really are. Ephesians 4 and 20 says this, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed. Everybody say renewed. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. What new man? Which after God is created in righteousness and true what? Holiness. Hallelujah. The Bible said that we're already righteous and holy in God's eyes once we get saved. You are a righteous person. Sometimes some Christians beat themselves up so bad because maybe they made a mistake here, or made a mistake there. Just repent, get it right, and keep on going. Just keep on going. Listen, sometimes people think that when they get saved and they mess up, then they got to get saved again. No, you can't get saved but one time. It's a one-time thing. Amen? It's a one-time thing. It's a one-time thing. It won't work the other way. It just won't work at all. Verse 24 that we just read plainly reveals that your born-again spirit, the new man, was created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Right now in your spirit, you are righteous and holy. I don't care what your body is saying. I don't care what you're doing, but your spirit is righteous and holy. And if you get enough word in you, come on, and release that word to your mind, to your soul, your mind, your will, and emotion, it'll control your body, and then you will do righteous things. Does that make sense to anybody here today? You are a spirit. You're not that man or woman in the mirror. That's a body. That's just a body. At times you might think, I'm getting holier. But you're just referring to your sanction in the physical realm. You're not getting any more holier. When you get saved, you become righteous and holy before God. And all you got to do then is just hear his voice and do whatever he tells you to do. This is an easy thing to do. You know what's so good about being saved? You know what's so good about being a child of God? God loves his children. Amen. And he will bless them beyond all measures. I know we got a lot of witnesses in here. Amen. Hallelujah. If you were poor before you got saved, God make sure you don't stay that way. Amen. Yeah. If you had lack in your life, hallelujah. God will make sure you don't stay that way. Will you not do the same for your children if you were well off and one of your children didn't have? Yes. Come on. I know what you would say. Come on over here, baby. I'll take care of you. And that's what God does if you listen to him. Now, if you do your own thing and just go your own way, then it's on you. But God will give you ideas. Listen, to take you so high, it'll blow your mind. Amen. God is a good God. Hallelujah. The degree of holiness you live outwardly, that may vary, brothers and sisters. But the nature of your born-again spirit is righteousness and true holiness. That's who you are. Amen. You are a righteous person. You are a holy person. I know some people say, well, you don't know what I said the other day. It don't matter what you said the other day. Or you don't know what I did. It don't matter what you did the other day. If it was out of God's will, just repent. Amen. Truly repent. Amen. Right. Just repent. Repent means I'm sorry and I ain't doing it no more. That's what repent means. And God is just, hey. But don't ever forget how many times I said, for every act of disobedience, what is there? Oh, yeah, you're going to pay for it. Nobody gets away with anything, but you still save. That's the thing you want to hang on to. You still save. You still save. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. That's why you must worship God in your spirit and in truth. I'm going to take you to John chapter 4, verse 24, which says, God is a what? Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You aren't worthy to come to his presence based on the righteousness and holiness of your thoughts or your action. No, no. It's the holiness and righteousness of your spirit that allows us to go to God freely and expect God to do what we ask him to do. You are holy and you are a righteous person. But once again, that body you see in the mirror, that's not you. Hallelujah. You have to live and function on planet Earth because of gravity and other things. You must live in a body. That's why spirits come in and get into people's body. If they didn't need to get into people's body, don't you think they just do what they want? No, we've got to open the door and let them into our bodies. Because only a person with a body on planet Earth can do physically what needs to be done. God is a good God all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good time. Even at your best. Listen, when you try to move in your flesh, you try to be holy in your flesh. Even at your best, you still fall short of doing everything that you should. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, you can't fake this thing. And say, well, look, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to curse, I'm not going to have sex outside of marriage, I'm not going to. Listen, even no matter what, you can't do this thing. You can't fake it. You either save or you're not. You either an apple tree or a lemon tree. Are you with me? Does that make sense to everybody? It's like, once again, it's like that caterpillar that evolves into a butterfly. You either a caterpillar or you a butterfly. Butterflies never go back and be a caterpillar. They can't. And that's the same thing with you and I when we get saved. Amen. You're not going to get saved every other day. Once you get saved, truly saved, you're saved. You're not who you used to be. I can tell you I'm not who I used to be. I'm just not. Amen. And once again, I don't want to paint the picture that I was a bad person. I was never a bad person. I never did anything bad to anybody except to myself. But when you don't know, you just don't know. You just want to have fun or whatever you want to call that. Amen. Hallelujah. In your born-again spirit, you're just as pure as Christ is because his righteousness has been given to you. You say, where do you find that, preacher? In 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, Jesus himself literally became your righteousness. Oh, I don't know if we understand that or not, but just accept it. When you are born again, your old spirit died, like I said a minute ago, was instantly removed, hallelujah, and replaced with a new spirit. Amen. You say, I didn't see it happen. No, you can't see it happen. You can't see it. I wish we could see it, but that's exactly what happens. Too many people think that getting saved means deciding that they're going to go to church. Hello? Amen? Hell's going to be filled up with people that regularly went to church but never got saved. You don't want that to happen to you. Amen. No. Come on. If you're going to go, listen, if you're going to go to hell, then go on to the bar every night. If you're going to go to hell, get you three or four wives. If you're going to go to hell anyway, come on. Start stealing your friends' money, your family money, the church's money. Don't matter. You're going to hell anyway. Does that make sense to anybody? If you're going to go to hell in style. God is a good God. Amen? But I don't know about you, but I already made up my mind. I ain't going to hell. Amen? Hallelujah. God's not trying to make anybody in this room a good person. He's trying to free you from the clutches of the devil. That's what salvation's all about. God is a good God all the time. We don't like to think about going to hell. We don't like to think. But that's a reality. It's a reality, folks. God is a good God all the time. The makeup of your born-again spirit is identical to Jesus himself. As Jesus is, so are you right now in this world. I'm talking to saved people. 1 John 4:17 says this. And once again, I want you to see it in the word. He says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, everybody say because. Because as he is, talking about Christ, so are we in this world. And that's why Jesus told those disciples on the end that he would leave them, but greater things will they do than he did. They didn't understand that. How can I do greater things than Christ? See, listen, our communities, our families, our friends are going to wake up one day, listen, and have a better life when you and I realize who we are in Christ. When you and I realize what power that we have inside of us, come on, as born again Christians. It was Jesus that said, greater things that I did will you do. Well, when they going to start? When they going to start? Well, I ain't no preacher. When they going to start? Jesus wasn't talking to no preachers. Amen. He was talking to people that were part of his kingdom. And that's you if you're born again. But if you don't understand that you're holy and you're righteous, you think you're constantly trying to get there. Hallelujah. The day that you got saved is the day you got there. You just got to walk in that thing. And the devil is working overtime trying to keep us from walking in that thing. Try to read your word for 30 minutes. The devil put all kinds of stuff in your mind because he understands the power of that word getting to your spirit. He understands that. You are one with Jesus Christ right now. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, but he that is joined unto the Lord, that's saved people, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You see, you must believe that you are one with Christ in spirit and that it's your responsibility to release God's power from within to see it on the outside. You have that responsibility. You've got to release that power. You got to do it. That's why that word is so, so important. We think it's a nice thing to do, but you need to get your spirit saturated with the word. You need to, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know sometimes if you get a chance, you go and listen to Andrew Womack. I mentioned him a couple times in the past. But listen, he was a young man. I mean, no more righteous than anybody else. But his situation was he got assigned to Vietnam. I think he was in the clergy corps, you know, those men and women that help folks doing the service and stuff. They've got a rank for that. I don't know what they call it. But anyway, he had a lot of time on his hands. So he was in the Word anywhere from 12 to 16 hours a day. A day. Now, you got to hear his whole life story to understand that now, right now, he's not moving in his own power. He's just an ordinary guy. Hallelujah. Had problems like you and I had problems. But one of the things that happened to him during that Vietnam War was he got to get into that word 12 to 16 hours a day. Now, most of us can't imagine that. We can't even imagine that. If I talk to any one of us who are saved right here in this building and ask them whether or not we give 1 hour a day to the word, I know what the answer is. Pastor, I like to do that, but I ain't got time. I ain't got time. Now, you may not know what happens to you. You may not know what happens to you when you spend 12 to 16 hours a day in the Word. But let me tell you, Andrew Womack is a good example. He's no more holier than you. He's not. He's no more righteous than you if you're saved here today. But the difference may be that through circumstances, he got a chance to just saturate himself with the Word of God. And now God is just using him phenomenally, internationally, all over the world, at a level that he couldn't even dream about moving prior to that experience of being in that Word. That Word is so powerful, folks. I want to encourage you. Listen, start somewhere. If you're saved. Now, listen, if you don't get in the Word of God, you're not committing a crime. So don't beat yourself up. But you won't, your soul won't grow, and therefore your body will keep doing the same thing it's doing. And you won't be able to tap into some of the power that God has already given you. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Oh, that's just a little bit I just want to throw on the side here. God is, he's just better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got good news. What God does in the Spirit always remains constant. Sister Eva talked about maintaining this morning. It always remains constant and unchanging regardless of fluctuations in your performance. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, all right, I'm all right. You can get saved and you can do something crazy. Listen to me. Your born-again spirit, listen, it's still going to be the same. It's still going to be the same. You won't have to get saved again. Your born-again spirit is still going to be the same, even though we see that you're doing something God don't want you to do outwardly. That'll happen, but you need to understand that. That's why you don't need to get saved again. But don't ever forget, this is not a free ride. For every act of disobedience, what is there? A season of disorder. Nobody gets away with nothing. You're going to pay a price. And most of the time, it's going to be a price you did not want to pay. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. Man, I don't know. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. I want you to know one of the things I want you to know. It's getting close to our closing hours today. But one thing I want you to know is that God is pleased with you, those that are saved. Amen. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6 says this. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted. Everybody say accepted. Amen. He has made you and I accepted in the beloved. Now, accepted literally means pleased with you. Hallelujah. If you're born again here today, God is pleased with you. Well, you say, well, I got saved, but I told a lie yesterday. God is pleased with you. Are you with me? God is pleased with you. Well, I got a little greedy spirit. God is pleased with you. All right? God's eye is not on that lie you told. See, the laws, the laws that have been put in place going to take care of that. You're going to deal with a season of disorder because of that lie. Or because of what you stole, or because of whatever. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, if you're saved here today, God is pleased with you. Stop beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself up. God is good. Hallelujah. When you are born again, you become a brand new creature. And God's pleased with his work. God did it, and he's pleased with it. He's pleased with it. I'm not saying he's pleased with every little thing we do. That'll take care of itself. But he's pleased with you because you're now one of his. That's good news here, folks. Stop beating yourself up. Hallelujah. You're a brand new creature. Once you believed, once you got saved, listen, you got to hear this. Once you got saved, and the reason why you don't lose it, you were sealed in the Holy Ghost. God not only gave you a new spirit, but he sealed it. He sealed it in the Holy Ghost. So nothing's going to come in there and taint it. Nothing's going to bother it. You're going to still be righteous. You're going to still be holy. You say, where you get that from, preacher? Ephesians 1:13. It says, in whom you are also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, after you got saved, come on, after you believe, he says something happened to you. What happened to me, preacher? He said you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. See, some of these ladies in here canned food. I don't know who canned food, but some of you probably had an opportunity to actually can some food. When a woman cans food or a man cans food, they seal the jar normally with paraffin or some sort of wax. This makes an airtight seal that preserves and protects the food with inside of it. Airborne impurities are prevented from getting inside that jar and causing the food to rot or to spoil. That's how the word sealed is used in that scripture we just read. When you are born again, when you got saved, your spirit, listen to me good now, your spirit was immediately sealed, vacuum packed by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of preservation. The devil can't do anything to that spirit because it's sealed. Don't you want to get saved today? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying right now, if you're not born again, listen, and you're really in, got the old spirit, the devil come in there when he want to come in there. You say, well, I did this, but I ain't doing that. Let me tell you, you're going to do what the devil tell you to do. Are you with me? Any of you raised children? You get a 4 or 5 year old to tell you they're going to do what they want. I know what you're going to say. No, you're going to do what I tell you to do. Can I get an amen on that? See, when you belong to the devil say, no, it don't work that way. You're going to do what I tell you to do. I tell you to do. You can talk to that devil all day and say, devil, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing this. Then that devil say, oh, no, you're not. You're going to do what I tell you to do. And somehow, some way, we wind up doing the same old thing over and over and over again. Why? Because you're not really the one in control. But you can get out of that control of the devil simply by giving your life to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen here. Amen. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. When you fail in any area of your life after being saved, the rottenness, the uncleanliness, and defilement that comes to your body and soul, it does not penetrate your spirit. That's good news here today. That's good news here today. See, with that devil mess, it'll get into your spirit, and you'll just be locked into that. The Holy Spirit's seal actually keeps the good in and the bad out. God's a good God all the time. If you're not saved today, don't you want to get saved today? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about joining somebody's church. You hear me say that all the time. Amen. We join as a membership of somebody's church. That's a culture thing. That's a culture thing. You know, that's how they do that in our culture. You know, you become a member of a church and you have certain rights and all that good stuff as members. But look, that's a culture thing. When you become a member of the body of Christ, you're just a member of the body of Christ everywhere. Listen, all the churches around here that's got true people that are saved, listen, are part of your being your brothers and sisters. No matter what building they go to every Sunday, it doesn't matter. Not at all. The Holy Spirit seals, once again, keeps the good in and the bad out. God doesn't look at sin the way people do. To him, sin isn't only doing something wrong by violating a command of some sort. It's also not doing something right that you should have done. James 4:17 says this, therefore to him that know to do good and do it not, to him it's a sin. Well, preacher, haven't you done something wrong since you've been saved? Yes, I've done one or two things that I know was wrong. Amen. But that thing tore me up. I'm telling you, it just tore me up. I mean, it just tore me up until I got it right. And I got it right now. And I had to confess to myself that whatever that thing was, I'm never going to do it anymore. Amen. See, when you got a brand new spirit, the devil can't control you. Whatever you do because you want to do it. Amen? I got to keep smiling looking at that clock when I say that. Whatever, and when you get born again, you do something out of God's will. Listen, you're not Flip Wilson talking about the devil made you do it. No, no, no. You did it because you wanted to do it. Amen? Because the devil got no more control of you. If he had control of you, he sure wouldn't be going to nobody's church. That's not the way it works. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Let me tell you something and close with this. If you don't understand that the Holy Spirit seals your born-again spirit, your conscience will eventually give you the impression that you've lost righteousness and true holiness that your spirit was created in. Brothers and sisters, if you're saved here today, you are righteous, the real you. I'm not saying every act that you do is righteous, but the you, the real you, is a righteous spirit. The real you, come on now, is a holy spirit. The real you, amen? The real you. The more we understand who we are, hallelujah, and step out in the power of God, hallelujah, the devil will never have another effect on our lives again. Isn't that good news? God is good. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. You may be sitting here, listen, you may be sitting here in our audience, and I've been just talking all kinds of crazy stuff here to you today, but maybe God is saying to you, listen, you need to come to me. You need to come to me. I think in the Baptist church when I was attending that, they used to play that song, Come to Jesus. I believe God is saying.